just for our last remaining couple of minutes, let's just try to answer some of those questions now, okay? So here's the thing, you know, can we not sin? Well, as a matter of metaphysical possibility, you know, certainly, yeah, it's certainly possible to not sin. Right? Is it likely that you won't sin? It's highly unlikely, right? There will be almost no one who doesn't sin, okay? We will all sin. Now, the hadiths and things like that talk about, you know, oh, all the sons of Adam sin and so on, they're to be taken completely literally, like as in, it's not that, when I say not literally, I mean, they will bear some exceptions, yeah? Who are exceptions to it? Well, yeah, the prophets, for example. The prophets don't sin. They do a kind of wrongdoing in that they sometimes prefer the less good out of two good things. You know, it's a separate matter, but they never sin. So there's one exception, okay? They're probably the only real exception. And then there'll be other, you know, beings very close to Allah, right, whom we refer to as wali, saints, that, yeah, you know, they'll hardly ever sin, right? They will hardly ever sin. They'll definitely avoid the major sins. But in terms of the minor sins, you know, even them, a lot of them, they'll avoid, you know. So occupied are they with worship? So little time do they waste? Because remember, to even waste time is a sin, you know. So little time do they waste, you know. Yeah, so close to these guys, you know, to Allah through, you know, constant worshipfulness and remembrance. So there are some very small exceptions, right? But the overwhelming majority of us, yes, we're going to sin. Now, does that mean that you're forced to sin? It doesn't mean that you're forced to sin. Right? Sin is always, to the extent that something counts as sin, it's always done voluntarily, yeah? Like when my nafs, right, pulls me toward a sin, that doesn't mean that I'm forced to commit that sin. It just means that that sin is very tempting. It's very hard to avoid, yeah? Like when I'm extremely angry and I can't see reason, you know, and I've got 10 friends, both seen and unseen, all calling me to do a certain kind of wrongdoing. Yeah, it's very hard sometimes, but it doesn't mean that I'm like an automaton, like a robot that just, when certain conditions are fulfilled in my spiritual being, I will definitely commit that sin. No. You've always got the free will not to do it. Now, if you didn't have the free will to not do it, then that wouldn't count as a sin in the first place, right? In Islam, sin is predicated upon freedom. If you're free to do or not do something, only then are you accountable for that thing, okay? So no one ends up in hell due to circumstances that were beyond their capacity or capability or free will, right? You know, no one's there in circumstances where they weren't culpable for it, okay? No one's punished by Allah here in the world for something for which they're not culpable for, right? Never. Punishment, you know, sinfulness, they all are all predicated upon freedom and culpability, okay? We will sin and we will freely sin. But that doesn't mean that we don't, you know, believe. It's just that sometimes we overlook what the reason tells us, you know, like what our intellect tells us, okay, and what we know to be true and so on, okay? So all that's going to be borne in mind. But here's the thing. We've already mentioned that, you know, we're going to be careful of this business of sin because, yeah, the more we persist in it, the more it will lead us, yeah, in every sin, there is a path to unbelief, yeah, that's the principle in the religion. So all of that's true, sure, you know, but here's the thing, like, Allah has not created this business of sinfulness and the ability to sin in vain, okay? Very similar to what we said last week, part of the wisdom in this blight, you know, this difficulty, this hardship that we're faced with, like called, you know, the propensity to sin or sinfulness. Part of the wisdom in it is just this, okay? That if it weren't for the opposite of good, we wouldn't be able to know the good, yeah? So that goes for all kinds of goods, like including the good of, you know, guidance and, you know, obedience and so on. So if it weren't, let me put it this way. I mean, this is best understood by means of an example, okay? Let's pretend that we were just created in Jannah, right, from the very outset, and nobody, of course, there's no such thing as sin or wrongdoing or anything, yeah? Everybody behaves beautifully well. In fact, there are no haram options to choose, etc., etc., okay? How are we finite beings going to be cognizant of, how are we going to even notice, and certainly how are we going to appreciate the fact that, you know, everybody's very much like, you know, angel-like, right? Everybody's just, always acting, you know, worshipfully and never doing anything wrong. There isn't even wrong to do. So this whole absence of wrongfulness, everybody acting beautifully all the time for all eternity, who's going to notice that? Who's going to appreciate that in any sort of full way? Sure, we could be taught about it, like intellectually, you know, like maybe we could read about it, like in a book or, you know, however things are learned in Jannah. But that's not the same, right, as doing this. Here we are in the world, yeah, and sometimes we experience goodness and sometimes we experience evil. Sometimes we, we have an experience of, guidance and, you know, abstaining from sin and worshipfulness and things of that nature. And other times, in our very own being, in our very own lives, we experience the opposite, okay? And then we feel guilty for that, you know, and hopefully we repent, you know, and we go back to, you know, guidance and, behaving well. And then, thanks to that experience of the opposite of that good, we can appreciate that good, right? And moreover, in Jannah, how we will appreciate, right, Jannah as Jannah will be through our recollections or our ability at any time to go back and view, in a sense, right, appropriate to Jannah. We'll be able to go back and view, yeah, the world and, you know, all the experiences we had and, you know, our recollections of the times that we were hungry and sinful and bored and stressed out and whatever. And we'll be able to view it in a way that does nothing but give us pleasure. Nothing but give you pleasure, you know, and just form a basis for relief, you know, and elation and so on. Okay, yeah, you know, that's exactly the right, you know, expression. Okay. So the dunya is very necessary for Jannah to be appreciated and even for certain goods in the dunya to be appreciated, right? So that's part of its wisdom, right? Part of its wisdom. Then a second large part of the wisdom is just this, right? That, remember I said that Allah's beauty is infinite. Every aspect of it, right, wants to be known. So one aspect of Allah's beauty, right, are all of His names that pertain to His forgivingness. Okay, so His names like Afur and Ghaffar and Ghafur and so on, right? You know, Allah has the forgiving and the oft forgiving, you know, and, you know, the cover of faults, you know, and so on and so on. He has a whole bunch of names, you know. Sattar al-Uyub, yeah, the cover of ayyubs or faults, you know. Allah has a whole bunch of names, a whole bunch of, and when we say names, His names just all describe His beauty, yeah? Right? He has a whole bunch of names that pertain to His forgivingness and His covering of fault and so on. Right? Now, in the absence of anyone who's ever committed a fault or done a sin or anything of that nature, what field or what arena or what, by what means will these names be manifested? So remember, He creates in the first place to manifest His beauty, right? So therefore, right, there will exist beings who are going to sin. Now, that's not to say that Allah forces those beings to sin, right? It's just that He knows that they were going to sin and He just takes advantage of the fact that they're going to sin, right? He puts them in a testing realm where they can either sin or not sin. He knows that they're going to sin, and then He sends prophets and divine scriptures and good friends and scholars and so on to call them to repent, and they repent, and He forgives them. And He thereby manifests the beauty of that name, okay? And in the absence of all of that story, that beauty is going to not be manifested, right? Now, it's not that He needs to manifest His beauty. Again, seeing as though He's chosen to manifest His beauty, know that He's going to manifest it, okay? So that's why there's a famous hadith that goes, How does it go? I've got the Turkish here. I'll quickly translate. If you, right, meaning we humanity, right, had not sinned, right? So let's say, right, the current set of human beings that exist, right, or the whole set of human beings that have ever existed since Adam, right? If we had all, like, seeing as though we've got the capacity not to sin, right, yeah, we're all free not to sin. Let's say we all had never ever sinned, not even once, yeah, right, then Allah would have created a new bunch of humans who did sin, right, and then he would have forgiven them. Okay? So what that's saying, in a very, you know, maybe too short way, I mean, it's a hadith, so it can't be too short, but, you know, what that's saying, you know, in a very summary-like fashion, it's just this, that, you know, if Allah knows, like, you know, the whole sphere of contingency, right? He knows all possibilities, right? He knows, like, let's say, if he were to create such and such a person, would that person sin or not sin, you know? Or if such and such angel, if he were to be given human faculties, you know, if he were to be given the faculties that would turn him into a human, right, would that person sin or not sin? He knows the answers to all such truths, all such matters, right? So when he creates, right, us human beings, he knows that we're going to sin. It's not that he's done that, you know, it's not that he's been taken by surprise, yeah? He's created us quite knowingly, and knowing that, you know, we're going to sin. Now, he's not going to force us to sin by no means, but he knows that, given the option to sin or not sin, that we're sometimes going to sin, okay? So what he does is that, he creates that set of beings that will sin so that he will be able to call them to guidance, call them to repent, and they will repent, and then he will accept that repentance and he will forgive them and thereby manifest the beauty of that name. If that particular set of beings was not going to ever sin, then he would have created those beings that were going to sin, if you know what I mean, okay? Yeah, you know, again, a very elevated truth pointing to a very subtle aspect of Allah's absolute knowledge, okay? So take solace in the fact that, you know, to finish off, right, take solace in the fact that sinfulness is very much part of our makeup, you know. Although we're not forced to sin, yeah, we're going to sin, okay? We're going to sin at least some of the time. But here's the thing, look, what we've got to do is we've got to take advantage of the fact that Allah forgives. Like, in that question, remember the question asker said, look, I try to stay away from the major sins, but I do commit the minor sins. Those minor sins, they're forgiven by Allah quite regularly, and indeed, in a sense, quite automatically, okay? Like this. Go and take wudu, yeah, carefully, and go and perform, right? Last couple of things I'll say, okay? Go perform 2 units of supererogatory, right? Non-obligatory salah. And you can be forgiven for all your minor sins. Or go to 2, especially if you're a man, right? For men, like, they have to go to Jummah if they don't have an excuse, yeah? Go to, but I guess this would equally apply to women who choose to go to Jummah, right? Mm. Go to 2 Jummahs, yeah? Right, go to a Friday prayer 1 week and a Friday prayer the following week. All the sins, all the minor sins committed in between are forgiven, et cetera, et cetera. And there are many, many other contexts like that where all of the minor sins are forgiven. Like, just say, La ilaha illallah. So just repeat, Kalimah Tawheed. There is no God except Allah. Just repeat that. 4,000 sins are forgiven just for that 4,000. Like, have you committed 4,000 sins? anytime soon? Probably not. Okay. So see how, like, the minor sins, yeah, look, we ought to be, like, the practicing Muslim ought to be free of these just in virtue of practicing Islam. Okay. What remains then are the major sins. Why aren't those major sins forgiven so automatically? It's just that the major sins of, more they're of greater gravity, right? Such that they, why they're not automatically forgiven is just that they require you to be quite cognizant of them. You ought to be aware that you're doing them. You know, some of the minor sins, you probably even overlooked that you do them, most of them. You know, you wasted a bit of food, right? Or you ate a little bit too much, let's say. You wasted a few minutes of time, whatever, you know. These minor sins that you're probably committing without even noticing, okay? But major sins, you better know that you're committing them, right? Because they're quite bad and they're quite big and, you know, you ought to know them, right? You know, if you're at the appropriate level of, you know, appropriate age, appropriate level of knowledge of the religion and so on, you know, you're going to be expected to know these. It's different if you're a child or new to the religion or new to the knowledge of the religion, et cetera, et cetera. But so long as, you know, you have that level of knowledge, which, you know, is commensurate with the opportunities for knowledge that have been given to you, you ought to know these harams, right? Therefore, before they're forgiven, I mean, they're forgiven just as easily too, but you've just got to repent for them. So what does it take to repent? First of all, you've got to admit that you've done a wrong there. Because as he describes there also on the 13th flash, first thing the shaitan's going to get you to do is say, no, that's not a haram. That's not a haram. You know, I was just, you know, look, you know, it's just due to, you know, how I was born, or it's just due to, you know, whatever, my own particular, you know, spiritual makeup or whatever, you know, it's out of my hands in a sense, et cetera, et cetera. Like, you'll be convinced to, you'll be convinced to see yourself as non-blameworthy for them. That's the first mistake. All you're going to do is just say, like, and in fact, you ought to err on the side of agreeing that it's your fault. Maybe it's not your fault. Let's pretend it's not your fault. You're far better off, if you're not sure, you'd better err on the side every single time of taking it that it is your fault. Because if it is your fault, and you admit that, and you just have it in your heart that you're going to try not to do that again. That's the key thing, right? You can't just, like, hope. You can't just take that you're going to do it again. You've got to take it that you're going to try not to do it again, okay? And then, you know, you might express this to Allah, whether non-verbally or verbally. You don't necessarily have to say anything, you know. Just feeling bad for it and feeling like you don't want to do that again, you know, even that's enough. But certainly if you express it, that's even better. You know, ya Allah, you know, I've done this particular wrong here. You might even be embarrassed to say it. Right, even in your own mind, in a conversation with Allah, you might even be ashamed to articulate it, you know. But Allah knows what you're talking about. That's right, you know. But you better just express to Allah your contrition for doing that, you know, and that, you know, ask for His forgiveness for that, and try not to do that again. Undertake not to do that again, and immediately you're forgiven for that there and then. So what ends up happening then, like, again, the question asker has asked, you know, how can it be that, you know, we walk around sort of sinless, you know, that a certain sin that I've committed might be my last, yeah? Well, it might just be that you've, well, first of all your minor sins are just forgiven just because, you know, you take wudu and you pray and stuff like that. But as for your major sins, you might have just, like, made a tuba for all of them. You might have just said, Allah, forgive me for all of my major sins, right? The ones that I'm prepared to, you know, articulate, and the ones that I'm ashamed to articulate. The ones that I remember and the ones that I forget. The ones that I'll do in, you know, that I've done in the past, and the ones that I've done recently. Everything. Forgive me for all of my sins. And I'm going to try from here on in not to commit any such sins. And back in that instant, you're just a sinless person. You are a sinless person. But then what happens is that, again, you know, although we had intended not to commit a certain major sin again, we are led to commit it again, you know, just again due to, you know, the fact that we listen to shaitan and, you know, we get angry, or, you know, we're overcome by desire, or we're overcome by, you know, our nafs, you know, our desire for the immediate gratification. And we commit it again, okay? So all we need to do again in that instance is to repeat that repentance. Okay, and there's a hadith to say that a person could repeat this process 70 times in a day, and every single time they'd still be forgiven, right? Because look, what happens is that on each occasion, the repentance was sincere, let's say. Yeah, on each occasion, this repentance was sincere, the person really intended not to do it again, but then just, you know, caved into temptation again and hadn't intended to do it, but ended up doing it again, and then again repeated that repentance. Yeah, repentance is accepted on each and every occasion, no matter how often it's asked for. You know, Allah says in the Quran that He does not punish a people while they are seeking in a state of seeking forgiveness. He does not punish a person whilst they're seeking forgiveness. It's as simple as that. Okay, so you know, if you're in the habit of admitting your faults and asking for forgiveness, then you are walking around in a state of forgiveness all the time. Okay, that's the key takeaway. All right, and that hadith ends by saying that, you know, that person that committed, you know, the same kind of wrong, 70 times in a day, the same kind of wrongdoing, yeah, that they asked, sincerely repented for it 70 times in a day, they'd be forgiven on each and every occasion, and they wouldn't even be counted by Allah as someone who repeats, who repeatedly commits the same sin. They wouldn't even be committed, counted as such a person. Why? Because every time they were like a sinless person. They were, you know, they came at it afresh, you know. They came to the game of life afresh at every instant. So, yeah. You don't come, like, it's not like, like, think of our legal system. No matter how good you've been, if you commit a crime again, once the legal proceedings are over and you've been found guilty again, your prior convictions are always brought up again. They're always, here in the Westminster legal system, they're always brought up again. Doesn't matter, you could have been squeaky clean for 50 years. They're always brought up again, but for Allah, they're not. They're not. If you sincerely repented, they're wiped, right? The slate is clean, perfectly clean. So we can take solace in that. And the only mistake that we make is just that we don't take advantage of this. We don't take advantage of it. That's the sad thing. You know, we're just not, either we're not aware of it or we just don't take advantage of it. Yeah, all right, so let's take advantage of it. Okay, so I've gone 30 minutes longer than I should have. My wife's texting me, I'm going to be in bad trouble. The kids are going to, oh, okay, she's not asking for food yet. That's okay. The kids are probably getting hungry, so, okay. Okay, subhanaka la ilma lana illa ma'allamtana innaka antal alim al-hakim ala rasulina salawat Allah salam. سيدنا محمد لا الفاتحة أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين مستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. Thanks guys, appreciate your attendance and your attention. Appreciate it, and yeah, appreciate it.